All right, no time like the present, so calling the Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net for this Wednesday evening, November the 20th. Your net control this evening is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, KA6PDG. My name is Kevin. I'm located in Norwich, Connecticut. Good evening to all at the end of a rather cold and raw and late fall, early winter, typical November day. A good time to warm up to some good amateur radio fun and information and tips. That's right, this is the place where you can get tips about ham radio, or maybe you enjoy helping other people with their questions, or perhaps there's a topic pertaining to ham radio that you'd like to discuss this evening. This is the place to do that on the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, which meets Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And we're very thankful to W1AN, did I do that right, for the use of the W1DX repeater, where we gather here on Wednesday nights. The net is for all amateurs, so everybody's welcome. The more the merrier. Don't be shy about checking in if you've never joined us before. We're pretty friendly. We don't bite. It's come as you are. There's no dress code. The purpose of the Tips Net. Fold. First, to provide a enjoyable and informative venue for amateur radio fellowship. Second, as a place to get information about ham radio and exchange information and ideas pertaining to amateur radio. And third, to practice good operating procedure and promote, I suppose you could say, the better aspects of ham radio. Now, the net is in three parts. The first part, which we will be launching headlong into in just a minute here, is what I like to call the topic portion of the net, or the topical portion of the net. Although topical makes it sound like you need a Q-tip to enjoy it properly, and that's not correct. The topic portion of the net, where folks can ask questions about ham radio, or bring up topics, ideas, things that they would like to talk about, discuss, or share information about pertaining to our wonderful hobby service. The second part of the net is the announcement section. That, just as its name implies, pertains to upcoming events, items of general interest to the amateur community. And the third part of the net is the swap section. If you have amateur radio equipment that you want to get rid of, or that you're looking to find, or you want to trade or swap or whatever, that's the place to do it. When checking into the net, it's really helpful to the net control if you... sign slowly and phonetically. We'd love it if you'd share your name and location. That's always helpful. And then when you check in, indicate if you've got something on your mind or a question or comment. Just let us know that you have something. And then we'll go through all the stations and check in a few times. Everybody will have ample opportunity to talk, or if there's something you don't think of until later in the net, there'll be plenty of chances to cover that. When you check in, as I say, give your call sign slowly and phonetically, but first say "this is," and then unkey the mic like this. Your call, name, location, and what might be on your mind, if anything, or if you just want to check in and say hi, that's perfectly fine as well. Again, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. We meet here every Wednesday night, and your net control is Kilo Alpha.
Here is. Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey, Romeo, Tim, City Grut. No questions yet.
Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie, Tango. Dave in Preston, no questions yet.
Victor, Steve, Coventry, nothing yet.
All right, so far on the net, we have awakened the hearts and minds of KC1TWR Tim. Good evening. Dave, K1DCT, and also Steve and K1V. Additional check-ins tonight for the tips net. Please come with your call sign, and if there's a topic on your mind, just let me know.
This is... Kilo 1, India, Kilo Echo, K1IKE, East Haddam.
All right, East Haddam is in the house. Good to hear from you, Joe. Thank you, K1IKE. Glad you could be with us this evening. One more call and then we'll get started here with maybe a couple of ideas for topics, or you never know, maybe we won't have any exciting topics and we'll just kind of go through everybody and see who's been doing what for fun today. But usually as the net goes on, we do come up with at least one topic that gets everybody going. So before we delve into that, one more call for check-ins. One more call for check-ins for the tips net. Come at this time with your call sign. Nothing hurt, but that could change. We try and do regular call-ups here about once every 10 minutes. Well, didn't hear any topics come up yet. I was trying to look over some stuff and get some ideas this afternoon. One thing crossed my desk, if you will, and that was the idea of Q signals, such as QRU and QTH, QSY, and all those wonderful Q signals that are a part of amateur radio. And why do we use them and why do we not use them? And of course, they primarily, I think, came about as a good tool for CW, Morse code operators. Saving time is important on CW. Sometimes when propagation isn't great, a Q signal really helps. The one thing that it's usually said that you don't use Q signals for is voice communication. That being said, I remember one very large traffic net out on the West Coast on 75 meters. And a lot of the stations were always checking in QRU, QRV, QTC, go with your traffic. Kind of interesting. I suppose when there's a lot of static crashes on the 75-meter band, maybe sometimes a Q signal can be heard better than a I have no traffic or no traffic. You know, did he say no traffic or did he say traffic? So Q signals, and also... some of the colloquialisms, some of the slang the one I am fond of using is Fine Business. Joe has a Fine Business signal tonight from East Haddam. Or Old Man, yes. In a moment I'm going to call on Tim and I'm going to say, go ahead, Old Man, got any comments? So some of the language we use in amateur radio. Or there may be other topics you'd like to bring up tonight, including topics we've discussed over the past few weeks or months. Anything is grist for the mill, as well, as long as it is somewhat pertaining to amateur radio and appropriate for discussion over the airwaves. This is the Tri-City TipsNet, KA6PDG. Let's go through the stations you've checked in thus far and see what we can stir up here for conversation points on the TipsNet, starting with Tim, KC1TWR. Go ahead, Old Man.
KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR, you young squirt, what have you been up to? Yes, as far as the codes go, I didn't have anything in particular. You brought up an interesting subject. My understanding is that the Q codes were used, and I believe you covered this, for Morse code, so that in three letters you could ask a phrase or state something. That would be interesting. For instance, QSQ, you know, have you a doctor on board, or I have a doctor on board, etc. It is a way of shorthand. However, just like call signs, when we ask people to say it phonetically, I think there are times if we're using what we would think of as non-standard Q codes, for instance, QRP. Well, everybody pretty much knows that means you're either asking if you can reduce your power, or that you are running on decreased power. But supposing I use that QSQ or QSU for should I send or reply on this frequency. Just the three letters, we may find that it would be better to use them phonetically, which then almost eliminates the use, the reason for using them for shorthand. But I could be wrong. And it could be a matter of personal taste and what have you. So we'll see how that goes. And with that, I'll go back to you, young whippersnapper. Kevin, KA6PDG Net Control, this is KC1TWR.
Well, I like that, Tim. You can call me anything you want as long as the word young is thrown in there. And you bring up some interesting sort of asides. I hadn't considered the idea of the Q signals being given phonetically, but I'm sure I've heard it happen. One of the ones that drives me nutty, and it doesn't take much to drive me nutty, I'm halfway there, but when I'll hear a couple of guys talking on the repeater, and somebody will say, are you currently at your QTH? Well, your QTH is your QTH. If your QTH is not your QTH, you have bigger problems. But enough of that. Let's get over to Dave here, who I'm sure has something to either contribute to this little topic or something else he thought of that we should be concerning ourselves with this evening. K1DCT, K6PDG on the tips net. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, Fine Business, Old Man. This is K1 Direct Current Transformer. As Tim was stating, some of these QT, I'll call them phonetics, that, you know, makes it sound a little more fun. Yes, we may all be here, but we're not all there, Kevin. So that, and the Q signals, don't forget, amateur radio started out as CW. So the Q signals made a great shortcut where you could either answer or ask a question by including a question mark. And shorten things up a bit. So I used to have a list of all those Q signals here. I don't know whatever happened to it, but they're out there somewhere. I don't use a lot of them because I'm, you know, the standard ones, QRZ, QSL, that kind of stuff. So they're very handy, you know, and they get used on phone, and they get used on digital. I see people sending QRZ and QSL and mostly that kind of stuff on digital stuff. So I think they're very useful. You know, it's hard to remember them all off the top of your head. I will say, as far as phrases go, it doesn't bother me, but the phrase of XYL, meaning, you know, ex-young lady, meaning that's your wife, even though she still may be younger than you or younger than whom you're talking to. So, instead of that, you can use the term YF, kind of short for wife. So, just some interesting stuff out there. So, back to you, Kevin. K1, direct current transformer.
CQDX, and they kept saying JI and then a number. So I wasn't really sure what that meant because I hadn't really thought about it. And when I called out to him, you know, he promptly returned and said, "Hey, old man, I'm trying to get Japan." And it all made sense. And it wasn't, at first I was almost like offended, but realistically I wasn't, because it was the polite way of saying, you know, you've made a mistake. And I did, I had made a mistake, but it was, I realized that it's actually the polite way of telling me that I had made a mistake and he wanted to move on. So, pretty cool. Back to that, NK1B.
Ah, there's a number of things you touched on. Very good, thank you. And that's part of the fun of this, Matt, is one topic can lead to other topics. But yeah, I've heard that too, and I won't say that I hear it all the time, so when I do hear it, I have to kind of think about it for a split second. But I have heard fellas calling, you know, CQ, 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 W6, or CQ, 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 W1, you know. Looking for a specific area, or perhaps a specific, I can talk, specific country. Very cool. And dealing with pileups and that kind of thing, and the parks on the air, which I'll have to talk to you later, on the, if not on the net, some other time. I think the Kilowatt Club's going to start getting involved in that. But thank you, Steve. Awesome comments. And this is the TipsNet. If you've just tuned in, we're going to have a call for check-ins in a minute or two. But first, we're going to get Joe in here. So if you have just joined us and you're listening to the repeater and you would like to come in, give stand by a sec. Let's get K1IKE in here for his remarks and worthwhile, worthy reflections. And then we'll have a call for more check-ins. K1IKE, Joe in East Adam. K6PDG in the Tri-City TipsNet. Go ahead, Joe.
K6PDG in the group, K1IKE. Well, an interesting conversation. Q signals were made, of course, for abbreviation because it was simpler to send codes than entire phrases or words. Something a little on the sideline, abbreviating words and messages has a long history of probably 150 years now with the transoceanic cable. I have a frog in my throat. The transoceanic cable had a capability of 0.1 words per minute. That's as fast as it could actually be sent on there. Let me reset it. And I just looked it up again. The first message sent was about 98 characters. I think it took 17 hours. It took 2 minutes to send one character because the cable would charge up. It was a huge capacitor. So by the time it crossed the ocean, it would take 2 minutes to determine if a character is being sent. Kind of an interesting fact. Imagine if the kids had to do that today, texting. It noted here that it took the first 98 character message they sent, I think, took 17 hours or some crazy number like that. Just a little bit of trivia. With that, back to net control, K1IKE.
Well, that's extremely interesting, and I have to imagine that they were using Morse code, if not something similar, I'm sure. Well, I did not know that. Yeah. Imagine it taking 17 hours to send a text message. Although I've gotten some pretty long text messages, but thank you, Joe. Fantastic. Well, all right, let's take a pause, and we'll see if we have any more check-ins for the TipsNet and all.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. By the way, I don't know if it's of mine or yours, but you're sounding like you're kind of in the weeds transmission-wise. I have to turn my, my volume up quite a bit to be able to make out what you're saying. There's some noise in the background. Not quite sure what might be causing it. Joe came in clear as a bell. Steve came in clear as a bell, so I suspect it might be on your end. But anyhow... My grandfather, Carl Freeman Rogers Sr., actually has a patent for a repeater that was part of the transatlantic, one of the transatlantic cables. So as Joe said, it built up as a capacitor, but partway through, or maybe several spots along the way, there was a, I call it a repeater, I've got to go find that patent again, but basically it receives the weaker signal and then does something to give it a much more powerful kick again. It looked like a fairly simple design device. It wasn't overly complicated, but beyond that, my memory fails me in trying to think of, you know, what it actually looked like. But that was quite interesting, Joe, the fact that it took so long, but I guess that makes sense. But, of course, nowadays with fiber optics, well, they can send quite a bit of data all at once. There's no capacitance or anything that needs to be measured, I think, for that. But I could be wrong on that, too. That would be interesting. I was looking at some of the QR codes, or Q codes, and I found that there were actually two different sets. There was an ITU set and also one used by the NTS. And some of the codes, like, I thought was interesting, and this was probably a side code that was added, was QLF. And what that meant was, are you sending that with your left foot? And I think we can understand what the person was trying to convey, message-wise. But we'll see how that goes. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Kevin. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
You are extremely weak right now, like you're talking into the back of the microphone.
Joe, how is it now?
It sounds excellent right now. Tell me you were talking into the back of the microphone. Not that I've ever done that.
Much better. Now you sound like your old self. So please proceed. Thank you, KC1TWR.
Right. Yeah, I know whereof you speak. Well, I was testing it a little earlier with Dave, and then on Simplex I was listening to myself through the HT, and oh well, it's better now. All better now. All better. And thanks, yeah. And I actually wrote a Q-signal list that I've got somewhere. I don't know if I ever sent it to you, Tim. I think I sent it to MCT. And it's the QZ signals. If anybody wants it, I just came across it the other day. But it was just for fun. And I don't remember all of them. But QZB was, do you have a beer at your station? Little silly things like that. So there's probably a bunch of those floating around now that I think about it. And of course, when we get talking about the 10 codes and the 8 codes and some of the CB codes, people were always coming out with, and taxi cab drivers had their own codes. Anyway, K1DCT, get me out of this little vicious circle that I'm in here. Dave, K6PDG, you're up on the tips net.
Oh, I'd love to get a list of those QZ signals. That sounds very good. I'm sure there's some fun ones in there. This is K1DCT. And yes, your audio was getting a little weak, although I was able to hear you okay, but much better now, as you were this afternoon when we tested a little bit. Oh, well, yeah, that was an interesting. Of course, there were many transatlantic cables that were laid, but, they all were pretty much telephone-type wire, so it would be a pretty monstrous capacitor. And just as a little sidebar, having worked in the power industry, typically, the current lags the voltage, but in the early days, before there were a lot of inductive loads, motors, etc., I had heard, totally unproven, that in the early days, quite often the current was leading, so you had a leading power factor, and that was due to telephone lines and pretty much else being resistive. So just, I don't know, I have no idea if it's true or not. I wasn't around that early in electric distribution, but just some fun stuff. So, and there was one of those cables that came into Cape Cod, up around, where was that? Chatham, somewhere out in there, near the elbow of the Cape. And so there's a place up there you can go. There's a little museum, and there's some beach up there near a couple of lighthouses where they have a little plaque set up. And in case that kind of stuff interests you, there's also the Marconi station up there. Drifting a little off topic, but the day I stopped, they weren't open, but you could walk around the ground. So just that's all the trivia I have. We'll go QRT, K1DCT, back to net.
QSL there, Dave. Yeah, I was thinking about that Marconi station. And also, while I'm thinking of it, there was a conversation today on the local radio station that I somehow got sucked into. But it was interesting because it had to do with radio. And the Vintage Radio Communications Museum of Connecticut. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it. I've never been up there. It's in Windsor, Connecticut. And their website is vrcmct.org. So it's Victor Romeo, Charlie Mike, Charlie Tango.org. One of the things they advertise, of course, there's attractions up there for all ages. One of the things they say you can do is send your name with Morse code. They apparently do have some ham radio stuff on exhibit. They mention ham radio antennas. A lot of it's old radio receivers and old telephones. But I wonder if anybody's ever been up there. That would be an interesting place to visit. The other thing that comes to mind with this conversation, and let me reset. I've heard one or two hams say, let me take a bite to reset. reset the repeater, let me take a bite. Also makes me think of phonetics, the phonetic alphabet. And a lot of us, I think, need practice with the what are the correct phonetics and using them so that they can come to mind second nature. And for some reason, it seems like the ones that have the most trouble understanding phonetics when they're transmitted, I think I said at the beginning of the net, give your call sign phonetically, for example, seem to be the net controls on the traffic net for some reason. It's kind of odd, but we all can use more practice. This is the Tips Net. We're up to Coventry again for round two, and in a few minutes we'll have another check-in. If you've just joined us, stand by. We'll get you in here on the fun. November Kilo 1 Victor, KA6PDG in the Tips Net. Your turn for some more remarks there, Steve.
NK1V, and I thought I had nothing, and now it seems like I had a bunch of stuff. Plug for the Antique Radio Museum. I actually was just looking. I don't know the club call sign. I do have an amateur radio station there. And they also sponsored the VE session where I went just out of the blue. I was prepared, obviously, but I just got up the nerve and shot down there. They had an open session, and I was, took my extra exam and passed there. They were very, very accommodating, and it was a very nice session, and just tons of cool stuff there. I think they were actually having some sort of flea market going on there, too. It's a good place to just go hang out and chit-chat, let alone play with all the stuff, because there's usually somebody there who's, willing to tell you what's going on around there, because there's some very cool stuff up there. And then, totally un-ham radio related, back long ago when I was young and not so good looking and able to eat whatever I chose without any consequences, I worked in a lot of restaurants as like line cooks and such, and a lot of them were open kitchens. And speaking of having codes and everything like that, we often had a whole list of code words for all kinds of situations that could happen in the kitchen or out on the floor that would need to be discussed by the staff in the back without offending anybody. So there was a whole interesting, I don't remember, some of them I remember, some of them I will not repeat on the radio, but very interesting concept. Codes. Back to that NK1B.
I can only imagine. That's great. I have a cousin who runs a restaurant out in California. I'll have to ask her about that. And you kind of went smashing through like a horse going through a wall, the name of that museum. I didn't catch it. What museum were you referring to, and where is it roughly?
You're talking about on Pearson Lane in Windsor, Connecticut, the antique, the Vintage Radio and Communication Museum.
This is KA6PDG. Joe?
KA6PDG in the group, K1IKE. I haven't been up to that museum yet. I kind of hesitate to go there because it might be a little depressing for me to have them show me what the antique equipment that hams used to use back in the 50s, and I see my novice station. It reminds me how old I am. So, anyway, interesting conversation. Yeah, I another thought just lost. I just lost another thought, but I guess that's about it for me for now. And yeah, there were quite a few transatlantic cables, and the first one was not very successful at all. It was very slow, CEW. They did use another form of code, I believe. I don't think it was International Morse Code. I think it was the Morse Code. It was a little different. I'll have to... Yet one more thing I'm going to have to Google. With that, back to net control, K1IKE.
Maybe Maybe it was the Morris the Cat code. I don't know. I actually met Morris the Cat once, and he had his own language. For instance, meow, and I want to be fed. Meow, and I want to eat. Meow, 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 and where's my... Okay, you get the idea. Thanks, Joe. Well, we're at the bottom of the list. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and we're looking for any additional stations you'd like to check in this evening. We're about ready to go into our announcement section of the net, but we can take a couple of minutes for check-ins and any further comments of a topical nature. Any other check-ins, first of all, stations who've not yet joined into the net and would like to do so, you are more than welcome. Your call sign, please.
This is Whiskey 1 Julie, ask your papa, John, City of Groton. No questions and really no comments.
K1DCT with some topical items.
W1JO, hey John, it's always good to hear you. Thank you very much for getting on the list here, being a part of the net. And I understand you have no comments, so I won't put you on the spot. But if you think of anything, just pop in at the appropriate time. Dave, you have your Q-tip out and you have some more topical stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple of topical things. Apply lightly as needed before bed. Just something Joe mentioned about the Morse code. What they were probably using was what was considered to be the American, or now considered American Morse code versus the international. It was the original Morse code, and it had more to do with the space between the clicks versus the clicks. So that's just filling that topic a little bit, which brings me to a quick funny story. I was at the Mystic Seaport one time, and they had a Civil War encampment set up, and it was Civil War reenactors from the Signal Group. So they had some poles set up with insulators, and they had, you know, a sounder and a key. And they were letting mostly kids come over and, you know, send their name with a Morse code. And of course, they had the list. Well, it was the international Morse code that we use today in ham radio. It was not the, you know, the radio, I mean the railroad Morse code. And I tried to tell that to the guy, because in the Civil War time, there was no international Morse code. I tried to explain it to him, but he really didn't want to be interested in what I had to say, which is something I've kind of gotten used to over the years. Back to net, K1DCT.
Oh, no, Dave, say it isn't so. Well, it's always, and I was thinking of this when Joe was making his comments, it's always a little distressing when you go to a museum and you're going on the tour and you're exchanging remarks with the docent or whoever's giving the tour, and by the time you get to the end of the tour, they're making you a job offer. Either that or fitting you for a podium or a frame. That's always disturbing. All right. Good thoughts, though. Even the funny stuff has nuances of stuff we can learn. TipsNet, Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Getting ready to go into the announcement portion. I just want to see if anybody has anything on, any more on the discussion we've had about lingo and vocabulary that we use in ham radio, cue signals, and that kind of thing. If anybody has any last minute brief remarks, your call sign, and I'll get you in here. All right. right. And one more thing before we go into announcements, and this is for you, Tim. I know we're sort of getting to where the first Wednesday of every month, I think you're looking at having a topic that we sort of announce ahead of time, which would be kind of a fun way, something different to do. People can do their homework ahead of time or not. And what's up with that, Tim? And do you want people to continue sending you their ideas that we might use on the first Wednesday of the month? So give us an update, if there is one, Tim, on our first Wednesday. Nets, go ahead, TWR.
Okay, Kevin. If people still have other ideas, please feel free to send them to me. I was going to wait until we got into December before making any decisions on what we would use for the first topic. But in order to propagate it out there and let people know what the topic will be, I'm thinking to myself that I'm not sure whether the second or the third Wednesday of the month would be a good time to, you know, maybe even chat amongst ourselves and say, what's everybody interested in? Here are some options. And then say, okay, that sounds like a good topic, and we'll talk about it then. Or maybe we'll do that on the last Wednesday of the month, and that will give people a little bit of time, and we can get that posted on the website and let people know, you know, about 5 or 6 days in advance that's what the topic of interest will be. Of course, all that can be superseded by if somebody shows up and actually has a question that's pertinent to them that they really would like to have an answer to and not have to wait for another week. So those are my thoughts, but they're cast in very soft, wind-blown sand. So I'm definitely open to any suggestions or comments on that. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Kevin, K6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
I understand somebody dropped the stone tablets and they were badly damaged shortly after this net began a year and a half ago. Thanks, Tim. Very good. All right. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club tips net. And we're going to launch headlong into the announcement portion of the net. Any station, and this includes if there's anybody out there who has not yet checked in, just come with your call sign at the appropriate time. This is the part of the net where we're looking for announcements of interest to the general amateur community, or the technician amateur radio community, or the extra amateur radio community, very often about things the clubs are doing or upcoming events. So do we have any stations this evening? And I have to imagine there's going to be one or two here. Do we have any stations this evening with announcements to put out? Your call signs only at this time. Okay, well, nobody wants to talk about the holiday potluck.
KC1TWR. Actually, two things. Number one, tomorrow night is the race-on meeting at 7:30 at the firehouse in Norwich. And yes, the potluck, in lieu of the usual holiday brunch, which we're no longer at River Ridge because they changed management and got a little too rich for our pockets there. At least I'm not driving two Mercedes and have a Porsche in my back pocket. So anyhow, what's happening this year is Tri-City has stepped forward and is putting on a potluck on December 14th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Red Cross headquarters on Route 32 in Montville. It's at 1031 Route 32 in Uncasville, being a part of Montville. And it's just a potluck. Everybody bring what you'd like and share alike. The club is going to take care of the plates and utensils as well as some beverages and so forth. Not sure why it needs to be mentioned, but there'll be no alcohol served, nor should any be brought for this particular event. not being at the Red Cross office. But I'm sure we're still going to have a good time. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be similar to the race on picnic, except this will be in the winter time. So I think everybody will have a good time. I invite you, please spread the word to any and all amateur radio operators, along with their wives, kids, etc. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Back to K6PDG from KC1TWR.
And also, if you know any folks who are kind of curious about ham radio, this would be an opportunity for them to meet some curious hams. December 14th. Thanks, Tim. I'm looking forward to that. I like potlucks, and I don't remember us ever doing a ham radio potluck before. When better than the holidays? December 14th. Any questions can be directed to a member of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, or just ask on one of the nets. Any other announcements this evening for the Tips Net, upcoming events, etc.? Your call sign, please. Nothing heard. Maybe next week we'll bug Steve and get an update on what's going on with the Hop River Club. But we're kind of getting toward the top of the hour, so you're off the hook for now, Steve. But maybe next week you can tell us a little bit about what's new with the club up there. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Your net control, such as he is, or it is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin. Located in Norwich. Final portion of the net now is the swap section. If you have any amateur radio equipment that you want to buy, sell, trade, give away, want, get rid of, or maybe you have something and you don't know what it is, this would be a great time to list it, and your fellow hams will be happy to step forward and help you out. Anything for the swap section tonight on the TipsNet, your call signs only. All righty, nothing heard. One more call for swaps. Guess I've done about all the damage I can for one evening. Last call for anything at all for the TipsNet, including check-ins, announcements, swaps, comments, anything at all. This will be last call, as Dave is fond of saying. Last call for the TipsNet, anything at all. Very well. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And if there are some folks out there listening who did not check in, or if we have any shortwave listeners listening, tuned in on their scanners, listening to the 706 repeater, we appreciate you being there. Hopefully you've heard something on this net that has sparked your interest in amateur radio. And you'll come back often and listen, or get your license and check in. Even better. So I think this is going to conclude the November 20th installment of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. The net meets Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. local time, on the W1DX repeater located in Salem on 147.06. The input is 147.66. The PL is 156.7. The repeater is here courtesy of John W1AN and the fine technicians who keep the repeater going. And we appreciate that a lot. This net, the Tri-City Tips Net, is coordinated and sponsored by the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. The net manager is Tim, KC1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. more information about the NAT, or more information about the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, including its monthly meeting times and locations, be sure and visit the club's website, which is tricityarc.net. That's tricityarc.net. So at this point, we'll return these repeaters back up to the mountain and put them back in their assigned locations, available for normal amateur use, if we have any normal amateurs. Let's see, I've got 7:58 in the evening. Thank you all for putting up with me. Everybody have a nice evening. Stay warm. I think we're supposed to get some pleasant weather the next day or two, I hope, before it gets chilly again. This is KA6PDG saying good evening to all. Off and clear.